I don't want the poison of offense to cloud my vision, my seeing. I don't want it to affect my thinking, my reasoning, because it does. That's the target. The target is to get offense, to get bitterness, envy, any of these things, to get it somewhere influencing the reasoning so that I'm not able to demonstrate the heart of God on planet Earth in the measure he desires. Let's go to James chapter 3. What we're going to see here is we recognize that the devil doesn't come to us in a red rubber suit with horns and a pitchfork. He doesn't make himself known as the devil. He makes himself known as something we would value. He actually has to parade his thoughts as virtuous thoughts for us to embrace them. That was a good point, Bill. That was a really good point. He has to actually parade what the Bible calls him, the angel of light. So he has to parade himself in a way where we think or feel that we are discerning or moving in some sort of a virtue. The problem is that way of life, that way of thinking does not carry peace with it. It does not bear the fruit of peace or of righteousness. So let's go into this passage out of James chapter 3. Verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. I love that phrase, meekness of wisdom. My goodness, don't pursue wisdom without meekness. Or don't think you have it unless there's meekness. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness isn't weakness. Meekness is yielded strength. Yes. The biblical illustration of meekness is the wild horse that becomes trained. It's still as strong to jump the biggest fence. It just only does it at the commander's word. Verse 14, if you have bitter envy, self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. Interesting. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Go back to verse 14 and 15, and then I want to talk to you for a bit. If you have bitter envy, self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. Look at this phrase. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. What's the key here? Bitterness, offense, jealousy, envy, all of these things carry with it the appearance of wisdom. That's why a Christian would embrace it. It makes us feel discerning. It just doesn't bear the fruit of peace, of righteous living. If I were to call out what I think is the number one enemy that I've seen at work in the body of Christ in the last 2 years, it would be offense. And it's connected to this right here. It appears as wisdom. It comes with reason. Have you ever met a bitter person that didn't have a good reason? Wow. It's their reasoning. Offense is that way. I've been on a little journey myself for the last, I've mentioned it before and a few months ago, but over the last, I would say maybe 6 months, I've been asking the Lord, man, I don't want any trace of offense in my heart about anything ever. I don't want to live under that influence. And I to be honest with you, I'm one of the most forgiving people I know. And I'm That's an arrogant thing to say, but I really don't care at this point. I honestly am so quick to forgive. And yet I've asked the Lord, show me any place where there's offense, because you don't have to be bitter to live under the influence of offense. I've dealt with the unforgiveness stuff as to much as my knowledge I have dealt with. But you can still unknowingly live under the influence of an offense and still not be bitter. Guard your heart, but you live under the pain of that when you don't need to. So I've been asking the Lord to just show me this stuff for the last 6 months at the most random times. I've been just driving down the road and I will remember something somebody said to me in high school. Really? Do we have to go that far back? You know? Or something that was done in grade school, or something that was done last year. I mean, just all kinds of very random things. The conversation at the Chicago airport with a young man who had certain opinions and conclusions about me. So that comes to mind. I can see his face. I can take you where we were in the airport. And I say, I give up my right to be offended. I give up my right. The lady who flips me off in the car, I pull over to have a conversation with her. I give up my right to be offended. The money that was stolen, the dishonesty in this deal, I give up my right to be offended. And what happens is you just have this stuff just dial up. Now, I need you to understand, because there could be a horrible misunderstanding. I don't recognize anything yet he's brought up where I've harbored resentment or bitterness. But there's something powerful that's done in my heart. I don't know how else to say this. Something powerful is done in my heart when I look at that, the guy who met me at the airport here in Reading, and just read me the riot act and on my eternal destination.
Heaven?
Yeah. I can still see his face. I give up my right to be offended. Honestly, I've tried to take it a step farther in cases like this. I pray for great mercy, great grace. But the point is, I don't want the poison of offense to cloud my vision, my seeing. I don't want it to affect my thinking, my reasoning, because it does. That's the target. The target is to get offense, to get bitterness, envy, any of these things, to get it somewhere influencing the reasoning so that I'm not able to demonstrate the heart of God on planet Earth in the measure he desires. So I want you to look with me at Romans 12, and we'll take this for the remaining part of the morning. You guys still alive?
Yes.
I don't know what I'd say what I'd do if you said no, but I do prefer people surviving the meeting. Verse 1 of chapter 12, Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I think one of the translations, maybe New American, says reasonable service of worship. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, your reasonable service. Becoming a living offering is the intellectual thing to do. Have you discovered yet that God thinks different than you? Yes. Guess who's not going to change? What repentance does is it re-engages with the way he thinks.
Yeah.
That's what repentance is.
Good.
Repentance is reconnecting with the perception of God regarding a matter. His perception is different.
Yeah.
Most of our lives are spent in the middle of challenges, difficulties, problems, victories, whatever it might be. And in the middle of these issues, we are crying out to God for him to come and help and to fix the situation. But Jesus modeled a different way of living. I hope that we can come into this in instruction and experience more thoroughly in the next couple of years.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you watched this video. I do pray that it's a great, great strength and encouragement to you. And I've got a verse that really is my cry for all of us. And it's Psalms 20, it's verse 4. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. That's my prayer. That's my prayer, is that this would be the season of rich, rich fulfillment. Thanks for joining us.